Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Someone made the mistake of giving the class clown the microphone tonight. And Dad's gone, so let's have some fun, amen? Praise God. We want to have fun with the Lord, amen? Praise God. We want to send the devil packing, hallelujah. Let's send him home tonight, amen? Let's send him home with a sore tail end. Let's give him a migraine tonight, amen? Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We want God for you to do a mighty work tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. I do give honor to my pastor. Pastor Roy is a hardworking man behind the pulpit and up at camp. I've had the honor and the privilege of working up at camp with him, as many of us here in this room have. And he'll work a full day's work, and it's not just an eight-hour day, but it's from sun up to sundown. And then he has also the duty of cooking for all the people in the camp. And so that's a lot of work. So by the time the week is over, he's just drained. So I'm so glad he's on vacation right now. And I'm also glad he gave me the keys to his camper, because I may or may not have done something, but I don't know. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because I don't want to get fired. So I love my pastor. He's a great man. Praise God. I do give honor to my wife. I love my wife. She's such a great lady. Behind every great man, there's a great woman. And I don't know what my excuse is, because I'm not a great man, but I've got a great woman, and I thank God for her. Praise God. And I also just want to give honor briefly to my fellow laborers in the gospel here at Calvary Gospel Church. I am so, so honored to be alongside of so many great ministers here at Calvary Gospel Church. Church, we get a lot of great spiritual food with all of our good ministers preaching here, and I feel a little intimidated to be up here tonight, but praise God, I'm going to give it my best, amen? But I will say that I do feel like a Mountain Dew can that's been just shook up. Just ready to pop open, because I feel it right now. Praise God. I want the Lord to have his way, and that's what we're talking about here tonight is thy will. God, have your way, amen? Praise God. We want God to have his way in our lives and our homes and everything that we do, amen? When we let God have his way, great things will happen. When we let God have his way, that's when we're going to see some great things in our life. When we want to see this end time revival, we just need to let God have his way, and we need to get out of the way and just be that tool, that vessel for God to move. Amen. Praise God. So I start out tonight talking about manna anew. My love for my wife needs to be new every day. I'm just going to pick on her a little bit. So what you put in her yesterday will not last forever. So I want our love to be anew each day. In fact, I've been investing in our marriage more lately. You may be seated. I'm sorry, church. You're such good people. I've been investing in our marriage more lately than ever. I think she can attest to this. Last week alone, she got flowers. I went to her favorite cake store, and I bought her a little cake that she loves. And I've been taking more notice on, I've been, actually, she doesn't know this, but I've been going on YouTube looking at different ways to, but I've been taking care of her vehicle needs, the things that I've been kind of putting off and off and off, and because I love my wife, and I want her to know how much I love her, amen? And there's a gentleman by the name of Gary Chapman who wrote a book called The Love Languages, The Five Love Languages. Some of you may know this book, some of you know it well, and it may have saved some of your marriages, because it's a good book, and these are some good points he has in his book. He talks about, his first thing is words of affirmation. Each one of us has a love language, something that we crave, something that we need to hear. And so the first one is words of affirmation. When somebody just comes up to you and says, great job, and we really thrive on that, we build on that, and when somebody just starts to invest in us, our children love to hear words of affirmation. Amen? They need to hear that. Praise God. Physical touch. Guys, you know what that's all about. And I'm not talking about just the. But I'm talking about when the ladies aren't looking or when the other guys aren't around. You know what? These guys can be softies, and they just want to hug and touch and, you know, physical touch. Receiving gifts. Some of you thrive on receiving gifts. We all like to receive gifts, amen. But some of us just really, that's your love language. And then there's acts of service. But you know, I started thinking about that. Did you know that God has a love language? Amen. I started looking at these things. Words of affirmation. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Physical touch. He's a spirit, but we can touch him by lifting our hands and worshiping him. Amen. We start to just, Lord, I love you, God, and I just want to lift my hands to you and submit myself to you. Amen. Receiving gifts. God does not need our gifts. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. But he loves it when we are a cheerful giver, like Pastor Phil was just talking about, giving to Mother's Memorial. The other people reap the benefits of that. But God loves it when we give, and when we give cheerfully. Amen? Quality time. God loves it when we just spend time with him. Amen? He loves it when we just slip away. Sometimes maybe it's just you and the belt line, and you just say, God, it's just, you know, you're frustrated. You just push it aside, and you say, God, I'm here. Might as well just talk to you, Lord. Please bless that guy over here. Praise God. Acts of service. The Lord benefits from our acts of service when we sacrificially do work unto the Lord. Amen. We come to church, maybe volunteering in our community, but God loves it when we do acts of service in his name. Amen. Praise God. And I'm so glad that the Lord is living in this vessel. Amen. And if you don't know what that's like tonight, before you leave, you can experience that here tonight. You can come to this altar, Aaron. You can repent of your sins. You can be filled with God's Spirit, and you can be baptized in his name. And you can have that living vessel living inside of you, inside of you. Amen. And I want him to have total control of this vessel. Amen. Some of us are willing to let God in our hearts and our lives, but we're not willing to give him total control. You can be in charge on Sundays and on Wednesday nights, God, but I better take care of the other stuff. You know, those things, they might be a little too tricky for you, and we just don't know if we can let God handle those things. But you know what? God wants us to give him control. He wants to have his will. Amen. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not into thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Pastor Roy recently referred to a scripture in Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And he made reference to walking in the dark on Legos. And we all know what that's like as parents. If you have little boys and they have Legos, or little girls, nowadays they have them. When you step on some Legos, you're going to learn real quick what it's like walking in the dark. But God wants us to give him total control. Control of our finances. Control of our relationships. Control of our families. Control of our bodies, what we eat or when we fast. Control of our fears. Control of our desires. Control of our Netflix queue. Control of our jobs. Control of our everything. It's a principle of stewardship, amen? You give it unto him, and you get, in return, his blessing back. But not just back, you get it pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all, it shall be measured to you again. Luke 6:38. You can never outgive God, and that was stated earlier too. You can never outgive God. Praise God. Go ahead and put that one into practice and see. God will bless you, bless you. His blessings just come back, just overflowing and renewing. Praise God. Jesus prayed in Matthew 6:10 that he prayed, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." God is a perfect designer. And when we put the pen in his hand, he will do a great work in our lives. I love driving through the countryside and seeing Brian Regnard's beautiful face back there. I love driving through the countryside and seeing the great beauties that God has designed and created. You know, when you go through the Smoky Mountains and you see the beautiful, majestic mountains, a camera can't even do it justice trying to capture that beauty. Or when you go up to Shawano and you're away from the Madison lights and you look out at the stars and you're laying on your back and you just see the beautiful, radiant stars in the night. It's so beautiful. And every time I think, God, you are such a great artist. Amen. Or when I wake up and I look at my beautiful wife. She was waiting for that. Amen. Praise God. I love my wife. So, how do we come to him? The Bible says to come to him as a little child, trusting and believing. Just like when you received his spirit, you have to come to him just like a little child, trusting and believing. My little nephew, his name is Gideon, and you know he's not able to do anything for himself at this time of his life. So he trusts his mother. He trusts her to provide for him. Amen. So we have to come to that, like to the Lord like that, just trusting him. Let's talk about five things that can hinder God from moving in your life. Your relationship with God should supersede everything else in your life. The Bible says to seek ye first, amen, the kingdom of God. So, number one, be careful not to become a chameleon Christian. Chameleon Christian. We all know what a chameleon is. It's a little animal that when it gets into a certain environment, it can blend in, right? So if we're not careful, we can become a chameleon Christian. At church, we look the part. We may even have a fish bumper sticker on our car. We always carry our Bible. Maybe even have a Jesus shirt on or something like that. But you know what? When you go into other environments, are you letting them influence you? Don't be a chameleon Christian. That can definitely hinder you. God from moving in your life. Number two, a clean vessel. Clean your vessel. You can't expect blessings if you're harboring sin. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I'm hearing amen to that, because you can't expect to receive God's blessings if you're harboring sin. If you're coming to church and you're worshiping God, but you're out there sneaking and doing other things, maybe on the computer or something else, God's blessings may come, but God wants to bless the clean vessel. Amen. Number three, unforgiveness. You can't have God's will with unforgiveness in your heart. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness is poison to your relationship with God and will hinder you from finding God's will. Number four, you can't look for God's will in the wrong places. If you want to lose weight, you have to surround yourself with positive people. You can't hang out with bakers. Right? You can't hang out with the smelling all the naughty things that you shouldn't be eating. No, you go and find healthy people to build off of. You surround yourself with good influences towards your goal. And the same applies to living for God. Align your influences with your desires. Find healthy Christians that speak positively about God, about the church, and about the pastor. Amen. I'm glad I'm hearing that. Number five, identify roadblocks. I jokingly put this down. He's not here tonight, Brother Hawk. But for people listening online, or Brother Hawk's not here to... Brother Hawk is a very large man. He's not here, but his granddaughter is here. So, boys, this is your chance to take advantage of that. She might be looking for... I think I talked to Jada over there. She's such a beautiful, spirited girl, and I'm going to tease her for a little bit. But she's moving here, and we're... Praise God. Jada's been here for many years. She grew up here. She was born in Madison, I believe, and just a little taught. She moved away to Texas, but she's back, and we're so glad to have her. But her grandfather's a very large man, And I always tease Brother Hawk, and I think of him as a roadblock, because there was not a whole lot that's going to get through that man. You know, if he was a lineman, you know, feel bad for the other guy, right? So Roadblocks are things that hinder you from communicating with God. Those things that are going to keep you. This mic does not like me. I'm sorry. I'll have to be gentle. As I said earlier, I want my love for my wife to be manna anew. But church, I want my love for Jesus to be anew each day too. Amen. So we need to watch out for those roadblocks. Amen. If we don't pray, if we don't read God's word, then we're only hurting ourselves. But you say that prayer gets to be so boring. You know what's boring? If I come to you with the same list every day. You know what's boring? If I come to you with the same list every day. You know what's boring? If I come to you with the same list every day. Church, if we keep showing up at God's door every morning with our little list of demands, then eventually I wouldn't answer either. Or I'd get bored real quick with that. And I just want to add here, it's not in my notes, but God's not a genie either. So if you're just coming to him every day with your little things and then walking away, you can't expect that to be your relationship with the Lord. But when we overcome that roadblock and give God control of your prayer life, you want God to just move in such a mighty way. Amen? Praise God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:10, when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven, thy will be done. What is your will for our prayer today, Lord? Oh, you want me to pray for the orphans? Or you want me to pray for old so-and-so? You see, you don't know what's going on in their lives, but God in his infinite wisdom knows what they're up against. They're up against a wall and fighting spirits and depression and anxiety or about to rip them away from the church. And he wants us to throw them a lifeline. That may be their only chance to overcome the devils in their lives. Amen? Thy will be done. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. When God's will and our faith align, great things can happen. If we make God our priority, everything else will fall into line. The Bible says in Matthew 6:3, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I just wanted to put a personal testimony of that story. I remember way back, my parents are here, so I'm hoping they're not going to laugh at me for this, but I remember as a young man when I reached an age and I started to seek out finding a wife. It was before I came to Calvary Gospel Church. I started to say, you know, I want to find somebody, but I started to set up some standards. And I said, you know that I don't want to find a wife at a bar because I knew what kind of ladies hung out at the bar. And I there's just a few standards I had set up around that. So I started at that time to talk to Big John Repka, and Brother Repka invited me to come to church, and I started to come to Calvary Gospel Church, and I got the Holy Ghost. I was baptized here. I actually got the Holy Ghost at Johnson Sales and Service on Highway 51. That was an interesting story. Praise God. But the whole time, I still continued in my mind to say, you know, I do want to meet a woman. And now that I had given my life to God, I knew that I wanted to meet a godly woman. But when I started coming to church here, I just laid it out before the Lord. And I said, God, I want your will to be done first. I'm going to seek you first. And that scripture kept in my mind. So I said, I don't care about everything else. I'm going to seek you first. Amen. And shortly after that, I met this radiant, beautiful woman, very spirited. And then I remember eyeing her up. And I remember we went down to Illinois to a singles conference together. It was a bunch of us. We all got together in a car, and we went down there. And I remember even when I was down there, I said, Lord, I want to continue to seek you first. I'm going to seek you first. I'm not going to worry about any other thing. I'm not going to worry about, you know, trying to find a wife or, you know, all these things. And I started to just make God my priority. And Brother Lee Stonking was preaching down there, and I was blessed so immensely, and I grew so much in that event. And we came back, and, you know, God did have a way of blessing me. God said, you know what? You put me first, and now I'm going to bless you. with this awesome woman whom you don't deserve. Thank you. And, you know, God is so good, and he will, if you put him first in your life, he will continue to bless you. Amen. So I just want to encourage anyone here who may be seeking out, you know, whether it's a car or whether it's a spouse or whether it's some big situation in your life, just put God first and let God do something great in your life. Amen. Praise God. I just want to talk briefly about holding back, though. God, I want to do your will, but only this much. I hope that doesn't sound familiar. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, it was not thine own. And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine power? And why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the Bible says in verse 6, the young men rose and wound him up like a burrito, and carried him out and buried him. And it was also about the space of 3 hours that while his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered her unto her, and tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband at the door shall carry thee out also. Praise God. Don't hold back from God. Amen. You know, that is a very severe consequence that Ananias and Sapphira faced in that situation. But there's more to that story. But just when we hold back, that's not in God's will, and we're not going to allow God to move in our lives. In verse 10, and she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. We can't hold back. We must give God our all. Amen. Let's talk about focus. In this world full of distractions, we must not lose focus on God's will. The enemy wants to have us distracted, so we lose sight. Even from little kids, we're in this world full of distractions, and we have everything from tablets to video games and all these little things, and we're training our children to be so distracted. They just have to have something to do, right? So, but, you know, God wants us to be focused on his will, and God wants us to focus in our lives on him, and that he can do things, you know, in such a great way in our lives. Overcoming complacency. Bishop John Grant always said that complacency is a grave with both ends blown out. It's a rut, and we can't get stuck there. We need to continue to grow. We're born into this world, but we must grow. Can you imagine my little nephew? You know, I was talking about Gideon. He's born into this world, and he's adorable, but he can't stay that age forever, right? He needs to grow, and we have to, you know, grow just like that when we come into the church. We can't stay that little bit. Thank you. I was just about to sing. You don't want to hear that. Now I have the echo voice. Praise God. But we, just like that, we can't come into the churches and just get the Holy Ghost and stay in that place, that same place. We need to grow in God. We need to mature in God. We need to read our Bibles and pray and continue to reach out to others so that we can mature and continue to reach others. Praise God. I used to work with a guy. His name was Jeff, and he always said, do something. And that was like his whole thing. It was funny, but, you know, it kind of stuck in my head. Do something. Don't just get the Holy Ghost and stand there with your blessing net out. Some of us think that receiving God's Spirit is the golden ticket to the good life, like Willy Wonka going to the chocolate factory. Yes, we have the promise, if we live right, that we'll be blessed in heaven. But that doesn't mean that we can just coast. Amen? That we can just set our cruise control and ride it out. God has blessings for us, church, but we also have a mandate to go and reach the lost around us. To be in the world, but not of the world. God, help us to reach this world, because that's your will. Amen? Breaking through. Maybe you're here today and you're searching for a breakthrough. You've wandered so far away from home, and you're wondering if you can ever find your way back. God always has room at his table. Praise God. I think of the dry bone story in the book of Ezekiel. It tells us that the Lord led Ezekiel to a place, the Bible says, with very dry bones. Very dry. These bones weren't just dead. They were like super dry. No life in them at all. Bones that once held life, but they were now dead. And Ezekiel 37:4, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and will cover you with skin, and will put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. You can speak into your situation. If you're in need of a breakthrough here tonight, whatever the need is, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance you're in, God is able to breathe life into you again. God is able to lift you up out of the miry clay. God is able to pick you up out of the dunghill of your situation. My God is able. Amen. Praise God. When was the last time you really just worshiped God? Unselfishly just laid yourself out there and broke open your vessel and poured out to the Lord and sought his will. Praise God. Look how many times in the Bible people were barren and they were not able to give birth to children. And they started to worship God and they just started to really pour out. And the Bible says that God changed their situation. True worship moves God. Praise God. It's never too late to live for God. Just because your hair is a little, the color is a little different than it was years ago, doesn't mean that it's too late to live for God. Sometimes we think, oh, I've been in this church for a long time, and, you know, I've just been happy over here in my pew, and maybe you start to question yourself. You think, okay, I'm going to get out of my pew, get out of my situation, and start to live for God, but you feel intimidated because you know that you're not as young as you used to be. But I'm here to say that it's never too late. Amen. Just because you have a little gray hair. I look at the book of, the Bible tells a story of a guy named Samson. And Samson made a lot of mistakes in his life. And even up until the very end, the Bible tells us that God used him. Amen. Can we stand to our feet and just worship him a little bit, church? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. Lord, we want your will in our lives, Lord God. We want your will in our homes, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Sometimes when we're in the will of God, we may not understand the will of God. We may have crazy circumstances happening around us that we're not totally able to comprehend what is going on. But when I look at the story of Joseph, you know, there's a guy who had every reason to question the circumstances. He was born the favored child, and he was given nothing but grief from his brothers. But he kept a positive attitude, and his brothers finally sold him into slavery in Egypt. And he even made the best of that. But upon that, the Potiphar's wife, whose house he was serving in, she accused him of something terrible, and he was thrown into prison. And even in prison, he kept a good attitude, and God blessed him, and God used him. And I think of anyone who had the right to complain, it should be Joseph. And Joseph didn't understand the circumstances of his life, but you know what? He stayed faithful to God, and he continued to seek God's will. And for many of us, we struggle with God's will and a lot of things in our life because we're always driving our own ships. We have Jesus on board, but we have him down in the belly of the ship sleeping. We aren't willing to let him drive. Our pride is telling us that we've got this. But the next thing we know, we're in the storm, spiraling out of control, taking wave after wave, wondering, how did I get here? But pride once again takes the wheel, and you just continue to kid yourself until the breaking. Oh yes, there's going to be a breaking. You're either going to break and give it to God, or your ship and your life and everything around you is going to break apart, and you're going to drown and die. Praise God. If our praise singers can come. Thank you, Jesus. Thy will be done, Lord God. If you can please stand. I think about Jonah when I think about the ship, and I think about a man running from God's will. A man that lost his burden. He lost his love for the Lord. A man that tried to run from God's will. We can try to outrun God, but you're not able to run anywhere from that God cannot be because he's God. I mean, he created the world, everything around you. The Bible says that you can go to the bottom of the sea and he's there. You can go to the outers of outer space and he's there. God is so immense and so vast. Praise God. I just want to sit here today and I want to encourage you that if you're in a place where your ship is spiraling out of control, that you can come up to this altar area and you can rededicate and resubmit your life to the Lord. And you can say, God, I want your will to be done in my life. God, I want your will to be done in my life, Lord God. Maybe you're in a situation of where you don't know what to do, what step to take next. You can just come up here and just lay it at the Lord's feet and say, God, I want you to take control. I want to seek you first, Lord God. And I want you to have your way in my life, Lord God. Right now, we just want to open this altar area to anyone who wants to come up here and just seek the Lord. Praise God. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced that awesome relationship with the living God. You can come up here and you can lay down your sins before him through repentance. And you can be filled with his awesome spirit here tonight. We have some altar workers who want to pray with you. Praise God. And you can be baptized in his name. Hallelujah. We have a tank of water behind this wall, and we have these special robes that you can wear and be baptized right here tonight in the name of Jesus, just like the Bible says. Praise God. Don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without seeking the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. Lord, we want to seek your will, Lord God. We want to seek you in this place, Lord God.
I just want to move.
Hallelujah,
your
Jesus.
Heart,
hallelujah,
God.
Jesus.
And give you all I
hallelujah,
am.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
just want to bless.
God is here
name.
And he wants to meet you at this place. He wants to meet you at this altar area right now. Don't ignore his call in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah,
I just want to move your heart.
Just come up here and surrender yourself to him. Lift your arms up to him. Hear the voice of the Lord calling out to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I just want to bless.
Maybe you're here tonight and you need a healing. God is able to heal your body. The Bible says it. He is our healer. By his stripes we are healed. God wants to heal your body. Come up this altar.
I just want to move your
Hallelujah,
heart,
Jesus.
God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And I just want to bless your name. I just want to